I'm not going to show you this, but let's go over to 2 Samuel. We'll go to 2 Samuel, Sister Kathy. So just go over there with me for a few minutes, and we'll go over there. But, you know, there's some things that we read or there, you'll see books sitting on the, in the stores. I don't think there's one in our store, but certain things will be mentioned. You'll hear sermons on TV, and, you know, I call them the how-to sermons. And you'll hear four easy ways to get answered prayer. And can I tell you, sometimes there's just not easy ways for answered prayer. And yet these things go on, and it becomes sometimes a disappointment to people when they don't get their prayer answered after the second prayer or the first prayer. And do you remember when you first got saved, how that you could almost just think it and a prayer was answered? And this went on, and God just pampered us, and he carried us, and man, it was just blessing after blessing, and he would just deliver it and deliver it. And sometimes he still does that. Sometimes you think about it, and you mention it, and here comes the prayer. You're like, wow, that was a quick answer to prayer. And then other times you just bear down and bear down and bear down and try to, you know, push that thing forth. And there was a few years ago that push was very popular little word that came out, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. And so, and that's what I want to talk about for just a minute, because I looked up the word long-suffering, and that's a word that we don't like. I was teaching my grandbabies the other day about the fruits of the Spirit. Their teacher had taught them out there in the children's church, and so they came home, and we were in the car, and they mentioned the fruits of the Holy Spirit to me. And so they said, well, what are all of those again, Nana? And so I was calling them off, and when it got to temperance, Parker said, well, I don't think I have that. And then patience, he's like, I don't think I have that one either, Nana. And when it got to long-suffering, I said, I'm not sure about that one, Parker. That long-suffering's the one we just like to throw out the door. That one's the one that wears us down and makes us tired and feel a little dismayed sometimes. I looked up the word long-suffering tonight, and I couldn't pronounce the word in the Greek, one of the words, but it means this, to persevere. It means fortitude. So I looked up the word fortitude, and here's what that means. It means strength of mind, which enables a person to face adversity with courage. That's how you've stood when everything was upside down. But as a man of God or a woman of God, you faced that adversity with courage. Maybe you even faced it afraid, but you still faced it, and you had the grace of God to do what you did. And people would look at you and say, how did you do that? And your only answer is, it was the grace of God. And then you loved him enough to persevere and hold on and had fortitude and tenacity to hang on until you saw it. There's a term that I've never liked. And I hear people say it. And if you have, don't feel bad. I didn't hear it from anyone here and that I know of. But you hear it often. You say, how you doing? Well, I'm just hanging in there. Well, you know what? That's really not probably going to work very well. You may hang a little bit, but you're just going to be hanging. But I'm hanging in there. No, you know what? Let's go a little deeper than just hanging in there. I think sometimes, though, we've forgotten that fruit. And I don't want to talk about my grandchildren too much, but I learned from them. So can I tell you one more thing? So they have to read, of course, there's certain reading method at school. And so they read a lot of things, and they learn a lot of things, and they teach us so much. So Ainsley comes home. Some of you probably knew this. I didn't. She said, Nana, did you know that a cheetah, that's my favorite animal, she says, do you know a cheetah can run 70 miles an hour? I said, what? I said, yeah, that cheetah can run 70 miles an hour. And I said, wow, that's fast. And she says, yeah, but he can run fast, Nana. But you know what the problem is? Well, no, I didn't even know he could run fast. Well, the problem is, if he's chasing the animal as his prey, he's going to eat it. And so he's running 70 miles an hour, but the problem is he's got a little tiny heart. And his heart is too small for his body. And so he has to stop and rest. And so if he stops and rests, then his animal goes on and he's missed it. And I thought about that ever since she told me that a couple days ago. And that's where this comes from. See, he's got the heart to go after the thing. And man, he starts out fine and starts out running fast. But then when he poops out, he's worn out. He's got to sit down and rest, and he's lost it. And I think that's what happens, don't you think, sometimes in our prayers? Man, we start out with energy, and man, we run to that prayer closet. We're going to take care of business for Jesus and for ourselves, and we're going to win the battle over that thing, and we're going to pull down this stronghold. And we're just going to take this bull by the horns, and we're going to win this battle. We're going to pull down every stronghold. Well, we ran there real fast, but after about a month and you didn't see it, nothing's changed. Maybe even grew worse. Maybe. And then 6 months went by, and then a year went by, and it still hasn't changed, and then another year and another year. Now, I don't want to discourage you tonight, but I'm just saying. I wonder if sometimes our heart, like that cheetah, gets a little too small with our trust in God. Is it too small to trust him? I mean, we can run fast to the prayer closet. We can run fast to the prayer meeting. We can run fast to ask somebody to pray for us. And we can run fast when we know that kid's on their way to jail. Or, you know, you've lost all your money or you lost your business. And if God, if you don't intervene, then I don't know what's going to happen. Well, we can run pretty fast to that. But you've got to stay put. Because keep that heart full of faith in Jesus. Keep that shield of faith on that fits you from head to toe. That shield of faith goes all the way around. Keep the loins of your mind girt up with the word. And so when we do that, then it gives us the power and the strength and the tenacity to just keep running and keep going and praying again. Because you guys, sometimes those little one-liner prayers, they just don't do it. But today's church has been taught so much of that four easy steps to prayer, to get your answer, your prayers answered. Four easy steps. Do it this way. And they forget to tell us, you know, for the past 20 years with the faith movement and the, I shouldn't say faith movement, I mean, we all live by faith. But the prosperity movement taught us, all you do is ask and then you praise him. You ask and praise him. Ask and praise. Don't pray anymore. Quit. Well, we're told in the word to knock, 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 keep knocking. You keep looking, you keep seeking, and you keep knocking. Paul said, you pray without ceasing. Don't stop. And so this is not, you say, well, I've prayed about the same thing over and over and over. We'll do it some more. So I'll take you somewhere here right now. I want you to see. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Because if the one-liner won't do, or the little five-minute, Lord Jesus, please do this for us. Take care of it. I've been in the hospital where people would pray, Lord, if you'll heal my son, or you'll heal my daddy or my mother, Lord, I'll do this and I'll do that. And God heals them, and you never see them again. And they forget what they promised God. And it's almost like sometimes, you've seen it growing up in the church. You've seen it, maybe felt it, maybe did it yourself. But it's almost like, let's make a deal. Remember that old game show? Let's make a deal. If you'll give me this, then the man would say, if you do this, I'll give you that door. Or this, you can have this. And then they forget. And And sometimes it's like, oh, I hope I get lucky this time. Like the people that go to Eagle Mountain, go up there and play those machines and hope the next one, I've been sitting here 2 hours, maybe the next time I'll get lucky. No, it's not like that in prayer. It's not just, well, God, I hope I get lucky this time, my prayer gets answered. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel 23. Now, I believe those of you that are here tonight, not just you, but many, many Christians around the world, we are the ones who love God. We got a heart full of Jesus. We have a heart full of love and trust and faith and confidence in Him that He hears us. We are His mighty men and women. David had mighty men. Look at this, 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. Got that, Kathy? 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Joshed, Bethshebeth, the Techmanite, chief among the captains. He was also called, look, Adino. That's easy. He was called Adino, the Esnite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. Look at that. One man killed 800 men at one time. All at once, one man. Look at the second one, verse 9. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Well, how would you like to be named Dodo? So after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men of David. When they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for the battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. Remember that. The men of Israel ran away. They got tired of the Philistines. They didn't want to stand and fight. So the people of Israel took off. Look at verse 10. Now we're still talking about Eleazar, the son of Dodo. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was what? Weary. He was worn out. He was tired. He was tired of fighting that battle. He was sick and tired of it. He didn't know how to pray about it anymore. Sometimes you just don't know how to pray about it anymore. So just go sit with the Lord and act like you do in front of the devil. I just say, Lord, I'm here with you. I believe in you to do this and mention it to him. And look at this. And his hand stuck to the sword. Many of you are very familiar with this scripture. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck literally to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to what? To plunder. So isn't it amazing? It says God brought the victory. David didn't say, even though Eleazar fought hard and the other guy, Adino, killed 800 men, by himself, it says God brought the victory. Now you've got this. Eleazar, his hand, he fought so hard, his hand was stuck to the sword. They had to pry it loose. He worked so hard and stood so strong and was so worn out. The Bible says so weary, so tired. But it says God brought the victory. When we have finished fighting and you finish standing in prayer, and you've prayed until you don't know how to pray anymore, it is God who brings the victory. We don't bring it. And I don't know why God chose prayer to get victory to us, but he did. And then it says the people returned for the plunder. The people of Israel came back and said, oh, things are doing better now. So they came back for the plunder. One man told me one time he was leaving the church. And he was leaving. He came and told me, he says, now, Pastor, he said, I'll be back one of these days. He said, you just call me when the glory falls and I'll be back. And I thought of him today as I was bringing this message together. I thought, yeah, you'll be back for the plunder. Do you want to stick around right now? Okay, look at verse 11. And after him was Shammah. Here's number three. Here's the number three guy, David's mighty man. After him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Harite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a peace, of ground full of lentils. It was full of beans. So the people fled from the Philistines. They all took off again. But he, Shammah, stationed himself in the middle of the field and he defended it. He stood right in the middle of the field all by himself. And he said, oh, no, you don't. Don't you come one bit farther. This belongs to my family and I and our city. Don't you come near my wife. Don't you come near my boy. Don't you come near my home. I will protect what belongs to me. He stood right there. There was a piece of ground there full of beans. And here came the people. But the people, the Philistines, but the people fled from them. Look at verse 12 again. But he stationed himself where? Right in the middle of that field. You may be in the middle of your prayer right now in the middle. You started way over here. And you're in the middle of it. And the answer's here. Or the answer could be here. I remember Lendell Cooley, the great worshiper from Pensacola Revival. He came. And his message was that. His message was very simple that night. And the crowd was packed in here. And he said, he talked about the time that we spend between the prayer and the answer. And how tough it can be right in the middle. And Shammah went out right in the middle of that field and defended it. And he killed the Philistines. He killed them all. Look. So the Lord brought about a great victory. The Lord did it again. The Lord has helped you before. He will help you again. The Lord has helped me before. He'll do it again. When I'm praying about something, the devil says, well, that may work, but this isn't. No. No, I know who God is. He will bring the victory. Now, I want to tell you, when God has appointed you to a ministry or to a miracle in your life or he's called you to something, see, we have these dreams within us from the time we were children. Some of you may not be from the time you were a child, but the time you were a young man or young woman or the time you got saved or the time you got filled with the Spirit and this dream began to bubble up. And you really, maybe you couldn't even tell anyone because it would just be too embarrassing to tell them what you know. And yet, I'm telling you, when it belongs to you, it's coming. No one can steal it from you. No one can take it from you. No one can talk you out of it. But you've got to stand there and protect the anointing on your life. And protect, hallelujah, what belongs to you and kill every one of those Philistines. So the Lord brought the victory. So I think we'll just stop right there. But I believe that was just pure, holy endurance, tenacity. It was plain old long-suffering right in the middle of things, just looking straight on. And don't you ever forget that James, the brother of Jesus, said the effectual fervent, that means red-hot fire, the effectual fervent prayer of a godly man, a righteous man, avails much. And so it's still the key to victory, folks. Just keep on praying and don't ever give up. That's all I wanted to tell you tonight. Just keep on keeping on. And don't just be hanging in there. No, you're not just hanging. We're working a work because Jesus is coming soon. And he's got plans for each and every one of us. And they're all different plans. But we're all in this together. And we all have to work our work while it is day. Amen? So come on, let's stand on our feet and begin to give the Lord praise. And don't forget to bring your offering to him tonight. And so we'll just begin prayer, Brother Rick, if you'll just keep those lights a little low. And hallelujah. So you can walk and pray, lay down and praise. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, we give you praise. We don't come to you before we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. It was something I had learned in the Greek this week. You know, in the book of John, where Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And the Bible says this he spake of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost came in the book of Acts, those rivers flowed out into miracles and healing and such. Yet Jesus gives that to us. And you and I have already come to him. We've come here tonight. So we should go home with a belly full of the Holy Ghost waters. And he said, out of you shall flow those rivers. What kind of rivers? Rivers of life, rivers of healing, rivers of encouragement. And so try to keep that in your mind and heart, that even when you go to work tomorrow, there could be encouragement, or at the restaurant. And I know there's times where people might take offense, but we walk in forgiveness. You live in forgiveness because Jesus forgave us. So who are we to hold on? So there's rivers of forgiveness, rivers of love, rivers of power, rivers of glory. And here's what I learned, and this was so powerful, that the word, the river that flows out of the throne of God, when John said, I looked, and there was a river that flowed out of the throne room of God. And that river has the same meaning as the river that Jesus spoke about, rivers of living water that flow out of your belly, the same kind of rivers. And it said on each side of that river were trees on each side of the river, and it had leaves, and the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And so that same kind of river flows out of us. And then Ezekiel talked about the waters. Remember, he said, I went out and it was up to my ankles. And then it was up to my knees, and then it was up to my loins, and then it was up to my neck, and then it was swimming waters I just couldn't even get over. Those are the kind of rivers that are going to be up on the house of the Lord in these last hours. And Ezekiel said these rivers would flow from the right side of the altar, and it would flow out into the streets of our cities. That river, that's the one I've been contending for years. And I fight for that. And I stand right in the middle of this field and cry out, Lord, for your glory and your fire and your unction and your power and your anointing and your river. See, when this river begins to flow out of each and every one of us, all of us. And Jesus said, I'm only talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a real river. But the Holy Ghost, he said, that's what will happen in these last hours. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, he said, it's to you and to your children, your children's children, and to those who are far off. And you know, we're far off. We're 2,000 years away from that time. So, Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for people who are here that have, we have a heart after you. Oh, we don't know everything we ought to know. We don't act every way we ought to act. We don't say everything we ought to say. You've always had people like us. We love you, though, Jesus. We love you. And we came to you. And we come to you. And we'll always come to you. We came and we came and we're coming. And we'll always be after you. And you said, and I'll always give you water. You get thirsty, you get hurt, you get sick. If you're thirsty, come on over here to me. Jesus, you're so good. You're so sweet. You just said, come to me and drink. I'll give you water. I'll give you a drink. So, Lord, I pray you'll activate us. Holy Spirit, just pull those strips off of us like the old credit card or the new debit card we get in the mail. They say, activate your number. Just pull the strip off. Pull those old strips of sin off of us. Pull those old strips of unforgiveness. Pull those old strips, Lord, of hardness of heart. Those old strips, Lord, of distrust. No confidence. Lack of faithfulness. The things that bind up your people today around the world. Lord, we praise you for that river. I praise you for the river flowing out of the church. I praise you for the river flowing out of our bellies. And I praise you for the river that flowed in Ezekiel's day. And I praise you for the water that flows from your throne to us. See, church, that's the only place we get the river, is from the throne of God. Wonderful, Jesus. Could you just stand and praise him with me as we leave this house? Lord, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. Activate that river in every one of us. Lord, those that have gotten cold in their soul, those that are just so cold, I pray that you would set a fire burning. Lord, stir up the water like you did for the old man at the pool that day. He said, I have no man to put me in. The one that's making excuses, Lord, I just pray that you'll stir up those waters. Let your angels, your big angel, our big angel, come and stir up the waters in us. Stir up the water within my belly. Stir up the water within our bellies, our womb. It's at the womb of heaven. When Jesus said belly, he meant womb. It was the womb of our spirit, the womb of our spirit that carries the baby in the water. Just like a woman's body has a little water bag, has a baby in it. God said, you got a baby in you. You're going to deliver, church. We got a baby and we got the water carrying it. Hallelujah. The water of the spirit, the water of the Holy Ghost, the water of heaven. So, Father, release that through us. Release it to us and release it through us. To others. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Come on, lift up both hands and give him praise, church. He's worthy. You're worthy. Lord, we receive everything you said we could have. We don't want to lack one thing. I don't want to be without 1 ounce of anything you said that we could have. We want it, Lord. We want everything and all of your glory. And let the people of God say amen. Woo, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for being here tonight. You just keep on keeping on and you keep on praying about that. And don't you let any devil tell you it's not coming and try to steal it from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.